Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is best-selling author Rabbi Wayne Dussek. Rabbi Dussek has authored 8 critically acclaimed books. His latest is The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine. Rabbi Dussek and I will be discussing his finding that is shared by all 3 biblically sourced religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, affirming our oneness, one God, one world, one people. Good morning, Rabbi. Welcome to my mom's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me. I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. The Real Name of God is very interesting and easy read. I really enjoyed the book. It offers a fresh perspective about God and our personal relationship with God, which is very interesting. The book is very thorough and intriguing at the same time, and it also serves as a wonderful prayer book as well. So congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
What a great opening question. Well, I was born in what some still call the Holy City of Chicago.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I grew up there, and regular education all the way through. I was ordained a rabbi at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati now 40 years ago. And I had early jobs on the East Coast. And then I've been in San Diego, California for the last 37 years now. Large suburban synagogues. And then when I saw actually that it wasn't working for the people and it began not working for me, I left those big suburban synagogues. And about 22 years ago, a group and I started a little prayer group, which would purposefully be small, meet in people's homes. We call it the Elijah Minion, after the prophet Elijah. And we use it to explore reemerging Jewish spirituality and putting God at the center of everything that we do. So I do that. I wrote a regular biweekly column for the San Diego Jewish Times until it went, it left this world for financial reasons. So I wrote more than 400 articles over an 18-year period. As you mentioned, this is my 9th book, so I travel the country giving talks and conducting workshops and seminars. For 17 years, I taught the only courses in Jewish studies at the Catholic University here in town, the University of San Diego, a great gig, a rabbi at the Catholic University. And let's see what else. I have a regular radio program just like yours. I have a program on HealthyLife.net each and every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific. It's called Spirit Talk Live. And for the last number of months now, I've been talking about promoting, going all over the country, both electronically as we are today and in person as well, to talk about the Real Name of God.
Wonderful. So when did you decide to pursue the spiritual path? Is it something that was thrown to you as a kid? I mean, of course, I'm sure that your parents brought you to the synagogue when you were a child and so forth, but when did you sort of like make that personal decision yourself?
Well, if I tell you that I went to college between 1965 and 1969, it sort of tells you everything. I spent half my life on pro-civil rights picket lines, and the other half of my life on anti-war picket lines. And I started exploring the rabbinate probably early on in college as a pathway to social justice. My original career plan was to be a governor of Illinois, senator from Illinois, and president of the United States. But the day that Bobby Kennedy was killed, I said to the dean of the rabbinical school, activate my application, because I knew at that point that I couldn't do it in the traditional, quote, establishment ways, and I would have to do it from the bully pulpits of America. So my original motivation for the rabbinate was actually for social justice. And over the years, God revealed himself, herself to me more and more and more. And the last half of my rabbinate, the last 20 years or so, my message has been, I am here to help you create a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with God.
How did God touch your soul?
Well, you know, our colleague Dennis Prager,
mm-hmm.
who has a show that's probably not quite as famous as either yours or mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis always says, when people say, how can I believe in God when there's so much evil in the world?
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis says, you know, when there is, if you believe in God, you have to explain evil in the world. If you don't believe in God, you have to explain everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the reality is that once we understand that the power of the universe is not in our hands, no matter how much technological prowess we have, once we understand that it is God who created us and God who has an ongoing plan for us. God is not the unmoved mover the way Aristotle would have or any of the other philosophers. God is deeply and intimately involved in our lives, loves us, cares for us, holds us in tender compassion, and catches our tears in our sadness and rejoices with us in our happiness. Once we understand that, then everything begins to make sense. And even in the most difficult times that we have, we know that God is there, caring about us, guiding us, protecting us.
What's very interesting is that your approach is basically you cannot erase evil without having good, and then at the same time you can't have good without evil. There's a sort of a balancing act.
Well, that's one of the things that we find out when we find the real name of God,
mm-hmm.
and that is that God is the everything of the everything.
Mm-hmm.
That means that God, well, my image, if you will, is a beach
yeah.
ball. We can talk about it more later if you want.
Yeah.
But when you see a beach ball, the beach ball contains not simply each individual colored panel,
mm-hmm.
but the wholeness of the beach ball that's made up by the panels.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it means is that God is the everything of the everything, both male and female, good and evil, right
mm-hmm.
and wrong, justice and mercy, light and dark and shadow, the everything of the everything. And so God says to us, my children, you who are created in my image, you are the everything of the everything also. Within you
mm-hmm.
are all the seeming contradictions and mm-hmm. paradoxes and mysteries of the universe, and just as they are within me. And that's how they are explained, not individual entities floating around out there, but one complete, engaged whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so if God is the everything of the everything, we are the everything of the everything. Jung understood it when he talked about the archetypes within, that there's male and female, good
right.
and evil. So that's the way I see the world.
Fantastic. So how did the idea for the book come about?
Ah, well, the idea for the book, I've been a rabbi all these years. I've been a Jew for longer than I've been a rabbi. I've been going to synagogue all my life. I've been reading scripture all my life. And I was really disturbed by two things. One is, how does the one, all-perfect God have so many different names?
Mm-hmm.
After all, Judaism has at least 30, 40 names for God.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, they say 99 names, and some say 999 names.
Mm-hmm.
How does the one all-perfect God have so many different names? And second of all, and this is probably most disturbing, how does this God who loves us and cares for us and holds us in tender compassion and gives us this stellar set of rules to live by to heighten the human interaction between each one of us and to elevate the human spirit. Mm-hmm. How does this God behave, frankly, so badly? We read in the Bible of a harsh, angry, mm-hmm. militant God who brings plagues and opens up the earth to swallow the unfaithful and decimates enemies. How could that be? And so as I thought about it more and more, as I looked at it more and more, I came to the conclusion that none of the names that we have for God, none of the names that we have for God, is God's real name.
Mm-hmm.
Each one represents one aspect or characteristic or attribute or behavior or manifestation of God.
Mm-hmm.
But none is the whole God. So again, if we go back to the image of the beach ball, if we see the beach ball, each one of the colored panels of the divine beach ball is one of the names of God, mm-hmm. meaning it's only one aspect or attribute. My question was, what is the name of the whole beach ball?
Mm-hmm.
So could I go back into the Bible itself and find it there, hiding in plain sight for all these years, just waiting for the right energetic moment in time to be revealed,
mm-hmm.
and I found it.
That's fantastic. Before we get to the real name of God, why is it important for us to know the real name of God? Because after all, it sounds like what you mentioned to us is that God is a situational leader in so many sense, because different situations, different aspects of God appears. Like you were talking about the beach ball, where you have different stripes and different colors, and at any given time you'll be seeing the different stripes.
Well, the sage teaches that you don't know something unless you know its name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I could be having this conversation, and we could do it on an intellectual level. We could even do it on somewhat of a spiritual level, but we would never really, really connect if I didn't know your name and you didn't know mine. We need to call each other and to be in relationship with each other by knowing how we are identified. In many ways, identity is destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want to have not just a relationship with the transcendent God of creation and history who's out there, but we want to have a relationship with the God who is deep within us, with that, mm-hmm. as I mentioned before, that deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship, then I want to know the name of the entity, the being with whom I'm having that relationship. I love my wife. If I did not know her name, I could not have the same kind of intimate pillow talk that I have with her as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the name of God with whom I am in intimate relationship.
Very interesting. So, the big question here, what is the real name of God?
The real name of God, drum roll please. The real name of God is Anochi. Anochi. Now, it's one of those words,
mm-hmm.
which in Jews know, like Hanukkah and Challah. If you don't have the Jewish guttural,
mm-hmm.
then you can remember by Johann Sebastian Bach. The
mm-hmm.
musician Bach has the same guttural in it. Anochi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anochi is usually translated simply as I, like me, I.
Mm-hmm.
But Hebrew has another word for I, and that other word is the small self, the personal self, the ego self.
Mm-hmm.
Anochi is the totality, the completeness, the wholeness. So Anochi is used in the Bible, the word appears 359 times.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it is in the voice of God, it is when the fullness of God, not any one aspect or attribute, but the entire fullness of God, is vital to the teaching or to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And it is used also, interestingly enough, in the voice of human beings. When a human being is asking, how do I come into the fullness of my God self, of God within me? How do I touch God within me? how do I be as positively godlike as possible?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the word Anochi, I, and I translate it as I source, because mm-hmm. after all, God is the source of everything.
Right. Very interesting. You have read, of course, the Torah over and over again, and to really pick out that special word that you've seen all of a sudden sort of got your attention. And this is interesting because, I mean, looking at all the different religions that are their source-based from that aspect, how can this word been hidden from us for such a long time?
Well, it's hidden because it wasn't the right energetic moment in time to mm-hmm. be revealed. So the main name, you know, that is there, that mm-hmm. we all know, is Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh,
right.
which is pronounced Adonai. Yahweh is that male-dominated, authoritarian, harsh, angry, vengeful, revengeful God. And unfortunately, so many people have gotten stuck on that name and reject God because they reject that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, you know, when I go to synagogue, to whom do I speak? When I go to church, who am I reading about in Scripture?
Right.
And if that's the God that I'm supposed to be worshiping, I don't want to worship that kind of God. Mm-hmm. That's what people say.
Mm-hmm.
So... why now? Why has it been hidden all this time? First, I must say that the sages throughout history in sacred Jewish literature, the Midrash and the Talmud and the Zohar mm-hmm. and some of the Hasidic Rebbes, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, the Brunsilver Rebbe, they knew, and they left us hints in their writings, all of which I put into the footnotes in the book, except for one of them, which I just discovered after the book was published.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always learning, but, you know, when there's a back cover on a book, that's all you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So they all knew, they left us hints, but it wasn't the right energetic moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this the right energetic moment in time to be revealed, to be discovered and revealed? And this may be the most exciting and the most important part of the entire discovery.
Mm-hmm.
The way the world works right now is it seems that the theme song is, my God's better than your God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, I will become a fundamentalist. And if that's not good enough, I will become a radical militant. And if that's not good enough, I'll become a terrorist and make you believe that my God's better than your God.
Mm-hmm.
When we have this discovery of Anochi is the real name of God, it is the moment in history when God is saying to all of us, there is one God. One God has one name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can now use that one name now that you know it, or if you wish, you can continue to call me by a name which is comfortable to you. Because after all, in a family, for example, one child may call the father, father. Somebody else mm-hmm. may say daddy. Somebody mm-hmm. else may say pops, right?
Right.
Mommy, mama. But God says, I don't really care how you address me. I don't really care how you talk to me. I really don't care in what language or with what rituals you approach me.
Mm-hmm.
I am one God, and you are all my children, and I love you all equally. I don't play any favorites, and I am full, complete, unconditional love. That's what mm-hmm. God is, full, complete, unconditional love. And I am telling you, I love you all equally with that full, unconditional love. And I hope that you will love me in return. But most of all, I hope that you will love each other. Because you are all my children, and I'm tired of the sibling rivalries. And this is why this is the energetic moment in time, that this revelation finally came.
Mm-hmm.
And because of your technological prowess, either you will now at this moment in history learn to live together in harmony and unity and love and peace, or you have the ability to destroy each other and perish from this earth. The choice is now yours. And so this is the reason I have revealed my oneness. Oneness, one God, one name, one God, one world, one people, oneness consciousness. The time is now.
Very interesting. And I have to agree with you in the sense that there is never, ever been a time, I believe, throughout the world that the heightening of spirituality has been at this highest level in so many ways. And even though things has been very divisive, I feel like the entire population on Earth, wherever you go, we are trying to go back home to our roots in finding our connection to the source, like you were saying. And so that brings me to the question here, how is the one source God connected to our God self and our God within, like what you were talking about?
Well, first we have to say that the terrible violence that we are seeing in this world right now seems heightened, doesn't it? The terrible violence is, some would say, it is the beginning of the end. That is, that before the redemption, and some would say the rapture, I wouldn't say that, but some would, there has to be the total chaos of the world. I would say it differently. I would say that the violence is being put in our faces right now because we are coming to the place where it is so bad that we say to each other we have to stop it. So we have the horrible violence, let's say, of Boston and people who made the life of another as precious to them as their own, and instead of running away from the bombing, ran to it to help those who were hurt. With that much violence in our faces, we are now saying, enough, we can't do it anymore. We can't live like this anymore, and we have to turn toward the alternative. And so that's why this is the moment.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And I think each and every one of us go through a process, our own personal journey. And for me, as I mentioned to you prior to us coming on the air, when my mom passed away in March and me having the opportunity to be there with her and really connecting with her and her connecting with me as she takes her last breath, that was a spiritual experience that I could not ever duplicate. I tell my friends that I'm a changed person because in the end, right there, that moment, I feel that we're all the same. We are equal. We're all as one and the connection. So I'm sure you could relate to that in your years of, I guess, being a rabbi as well as just knowing people that you've known that have passed on. You know, it's a unique experience.
And you find that it is, and I was there when my mother took her last breath. I've been there, you're right, as a rabbi number of times throughout the decades. The reality is that that's what makes us human beings. We are all connected by that breath of God. So the question is, for example, what makes this lump of clay that is our bodies, yours and mine, everybody else's, worth a couple $100 on the open chemical market? What makes us living, breathing, animated human beings? Well, if we go back into the early teachings of Genesis, we learn that it is the Nishmat Chaim, the soul of life, the Ruach Elohim, the breath of God, within us that makes us alive. Adam was a lump of clay. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became an animated living human being. So it is the breath of God that makes us alive and that connects every human being on the face of this planet, because every human being is alive because of the breath of God. And when our turn comes, when our time comes, God takes away our breath and we return to the dust from whence we came. Now, if we could only remember that all the time, we would remember from where we came, and we would remember from where every other human being on this earth came. And so, in the second half of the book, we have a series of prayers and poems and meditations and spiritual exercises and chants, C-H-A-N-T-S, chants, which help us connect to God and to the God within. Now, I didn't want to have people to have to pay for the chants.
Mm-hmm.
So they are all, you can hear them all, as we used to say in the old South Side of Chicago, free for nothing. You can hear them all for free on the website, which is www.godisanochi.com. And you can go there and listen to all one or all 30 chants if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to own the chants, you can purchase a download or a hard copy CD.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have them always. But if you want to simply listen to them, you can listen to them. You can use them for a daily spiritual practice. So one of the chants is the Hebrew word for breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn it into English as well. So if mindful breathing is not for the Buddhists alone. You know, mm-hmm. Have you ever been snorkeling?
Yes.
What do you hear? You hear your own breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we concentrate not on the singing, although the singing has the whoosh of the breath, but if we concentrate not on the singing but on the experience of being aware of our own breaths, mm-hmm. we know that God is within us. So it goes like this. Ruach, 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 Ruach. I guarantee you that if you sing that
mm-hmm.
30 or 60 seconds a day, you will come after a day, 2, 5, 10, 20, a month, you will come into deeper connection with God, the not only the transcendent God of creation and history, the
mm-hmm.
God out there, but you will come into deep relationship with the God who is within you.
Very interesting. You and I have talked about this as well in terms of we all seek this sort of spiritual balance. We all seek that. When we talk to people, yeah, I'm in the present moment. I am connected, this and so forth. And yet, you know, we're present, but we're not present. How do we take care of that?
Well, another one of the chants that's in the in the book and on the CD is a adaptation of a verse from Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Shaviti Anochi Lenegdi Tamid. I place Anochi before me always. It goes, Shaviti Anochi Lenegdi Tamid. I place God before me always. What does it mean to place God before me? The kids on the street would say it means to put God in my face.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to put God in my face? It means that the reality is God is everywhere. All the time, every moment, God is everywhere. We just have to be consciously aware of that. So if we sing that little chant or remind ourselves in another way that God is before us always, that God is within us always, then when we go into the bank and the teller is taking forever and the line is so long, and you're at the end of that long, frustrating line. Or if you go into the convenience store and the teenage clerk, God bless him, can't make change for a dollar bill without using the computer. Or if some yutz cuts you off in traffic,
mm-hmm.
your initial reaction may be to curse him out, to pound the desk, to be totally frustrated, to be very angry, to discipline the clerk or the teller. But if you remember that God is before you always and God is before that other person always, then you remember that that person is a child of God just as you are a child of God. And so if you yell at the clerk, you diminish that person's godness, you diminish your own godness, and you diminish God's godness. And so it works not only in banks or in traffic, but the reality is that's how it works in governments also.
Mm-hmm.
No general or president makes a war. Somebody's grandma or grandpa makes a war. And if we treated each other in the collective the way we can treat each other in the individual, then we can't behave in terrible ways. Let me tell you a personal story if you have time. Can I tell you a personal story?
Yeah, yeah.
So I grew up on the south side of Chicago, southeast side of Chicago. Great place to grow up. Fascinating neighborhood. In 1945, it was a Polish Catholic steelworkers neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
In 1960, it was a half-Jewish neighborhood. And in 1970, it was an entirely black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Still all middle class, but very different ethnic and demographics, right?
Right.
So when we were little, late 40s, early 50s, we all played on the playground together. And then when we went to kindergarten, some of us went to the public school, and some went to the local parochial school, the parish school, St. Mary Magdalene's. By the time I was 8 or 9 years old, I was being beaten up on a regular basis by my former friends,
mm-hmm.
who had learned from their priests and their nuns that I, Wayne Dossick, had personally killed their Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 40, 45 years, something like that. I am a rabbi on a faculty of a Catholic university, teaching the only courses in Jewish studies, unheard of a decade before,
mm-hmm.
on the faculty of the Department of Religion and Theology. I work with the late and much lamented Monsignor for Mission and Ministry to create the All Faith Service, where on the first Friday of the spring semester, thousands of people gather in the Immaculata, and clergy of all faiths, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Native American, everybody comes and prays or dances or creates ritual in his or her mm-hmm. own language, in his or her own way. I myself preach from the pulpit of the Immaculata, standing next to a statue of Jesus, and one of my closest friends in the entire world is a Jesuit priest. Now,
wonderful.
50 years, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
50 years. Because one man, that twinkle-eyed Pope, John the 23rd, God bless him, decided that 2,000 years of enmity had to end.
Right.
And so if we can do it, if we can do it, I mean, I have to tell you, I don't want this to sound like bragging, but Father O'Leary and I are walking around the campus one day, mm-hmm. and a young man comes up to us and says, "Before I came to this university, I never met a Jew. I always heard terrible things about Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But if you two, the priest and the rabbi, can be such good friends, I guess I could meet some Jews and become friends. The mm-hmm. two of you are a living sermon."
Right.
Wow! So if it can happen between Jews and Catholics in 50 years, it can happen between anybody now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now. So what happened? You remember back to 1987? We a bunch of us around the world held hands and sang songs and prayed for peace, right?
Right, right.
They called it the harmonic convergence.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, "What's wrong with you young people? You're crazy. You think mm-hmm. by standing around singing you're going to change the world?"
Right.
Well, two things. One, somebody once said to me, "You Jews pray three times a day, formal worship services. In each and every one of those services, you have a prayer for peace. You've been praying for peace three times a day, every day, for the last almost 2,000 years, and there isn't peace. What a worthless prayer."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You know, if everybody on the face of the earth prayed for peace at the exact same moment, for that moment at least, there'd be peace."
Right.
So it was the same thing with the harmonic convergence. Yeah, what's wrong with you young kids? Nothing. You sing songs and hold hands. Well, if in 1986 I had told you that I predict in the next 20 years that the Berlin Wall will fall, communism will fall in the Soviet Union, communism will fall in all of the satellite countries, blacks and whites will be riding the bus together in Johannesburg, Catholics and Protestants will stop shooting at each other in Northern Ireland, and every once in a while Jews and Arabs will sit down at the peace table, you would have called the white coats and carted me away. You would have called me crazy. But it all happened.
Yeah.
It all happened. Was it because of that moment in time? I don't know. But did it put out that kind of energy into the world? Once the energy is in the world, it becomes world energy.
Mm-hmm.
And for that moment, at least, there was, amongst everybody who held hands, peace, and there can be right now. If we understand that it is not in our hands, it's in God's hands, and the great, since we all love each other's religions and acknowledge and honor them, the great prayer of Christianity, which says, "Thy will be done, Thy will be done, mm-hmm. Thy will be done."
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And in the end, I think it boils down to two things. Each and every one of us are governed by two separate but equal forces, love and fear. When
That's
we
correct.
Allow our love to exceed our fear, we will experience harmony.
Exactly, Johnny. Exactly. And, you know, fear turns to anger, and anger turns to lashing out, and lashing out turns to enmity, and enmity turns to fighting, and fighting turns to war. So you are exactly 100% right.
Yeah, it's fascinating. In reading your book, again, it brings me back down to the unconditional love. And my experience with that is through the unconditional love I received from my nine moms. And that's God's love, basically.
You have nine moms?
Yes.
How did that happen? I'll turn into the interviewer now. I'm going to have you on my program to talk about nine mothers.
Well, I was adopted at birth in Malaysia by my Malaysian mom, who actually passed away in March of this year. And then when I came to the United States to go to college, in the course of living here, I met eight other wonderful women in the course of 18 years that I was here over a period of time. As you know, mothers have this natural nurturing instincts. And so they sort of became my teacher, my coach, my mentor, my guide, and so forth.
I'm telling you, I'm not an editor or publisher or an agent, but you have a book there, man. I have nine moms.
I do have a book. This entire show is based on the book From My Mama's Kitchen.
Oh, fantastic. Good for you. Congratulations. I love it.
But anyways, I understand and I can relate to the understanding of the power of unconditional love, because when love is given without conditions to anyone at any time, it serves as a tremendous catalyst to push that person to divine success.
Right. Exactly. Good for you. That's wonderful.
So let's talk about the prayers that you have in the book. I love the prayers, and one of the ones that I would love for you to recite for it is the Anoki Within prayer for us.
Okay.
And that's on page 104. I love
okay.
that.
Thank you. It says, I lift my eyes to the light of my soul. I center my love in the heart of my heart. I bind my spirit to the presence within. Breath of all breath, life of all life, I am of you, the one of the one. You are in me, the one of the one. And one voice sings, I am that I am.
That is important to me, because sometimes when you talk to people, there's a separation. Because God is God, I am. And which is two different entities. And what you're talking about in your book, that, well, we are God in a way, because God is within us. And, of course, in the Catholic religion, we talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, within us and so forth.
Well, I'd like to make a differentiation. In the New Age, some say that there is undifferentiated oneness. I am God. That's not what I'm saying here at all.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying I am of God.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same as the orange and the apple and the elephant and the rock and my desk are all of God. because everything is of God. Scientists might call it faster or slower moving molecules. We call it God. So I don't want to anyone to think that I am God. There's a great story that I put into the book that says the scientists come to God and they say, God, we love you, we honor you, we cherish you, but we've come to say goodbye to you. And God says, really? You're saying goodbye to me? Why? And the scientist said, well, the one thing that you can still do that we can't do is that you can create ex nihilo. You can create human beings out of nothing. But I have to tell you that we've figured out how to create human beings out of nothing, and so we don't need you anymore. We've come to say goodbye. So God says, really, please show me. And the scientist reaches down and picks up a clump of earth and begins to shape it and mold it and form it, and God says, use your own dirt. So the power of the universe is not in our hands, no matter how technologically savvy we become. Actually, all science ever does, science does not invent out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Science does not create out of nothing. Science discovers what God has already put out there, just waiting for us to grow in mind and spirit, to reach up high enough on the evolutionary plane to pluck it out and to discover it. So at the moment of creation, God put everything we would ever need onto this, well, let's say, for a better image, let's call it a ladder. The first rung of the ladder is Adam and Eve. The highest rung in the ladder leads us to Eden on Earth once again.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we need is out there. We just have to climb high enough on the rung to pluck it out. So, for example, when our grandparents were alive, people died of smallpox. But somebody reached up high enough and plucked out the cure for smallpox, and nobody who has access to the vaccine dies of that anymore. When we were kids, it was polio. Same thing. Dr. Salk and Dr. Sabin reached up high enough, plucked out the cure, and anybody with access to the polio vaccine doesn't die. I can tell you with absolute certainty as we sit here today that one day somebody will pluck out the cure for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's much more complicated because there are more strands and so on and so forth, but one day somebody will be sitting on a radio interview and say, well, in my grandparents' day, people used to die of cancer and no one dies of cancer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that. And by the way, my definition of genius is somebody who leaps over the normal rung by rung by rung evolution. It's somebody whose vision and brilliance and is so great that he or she can see so far ahead and pluck out something that normally would take hundreds of years to get to. That's why we still go to Shakespeare plays, and we still listen to Beethoven, and we still go to see Rembrandt in the museum walls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a human genius. But that's the way it is. And the higher we go up on this ladder, these rungs, we will come closer and closer to Eden on Earth once again.
Very true. Well, the answers are all around us in some ways, where we read books because we want to educate ourselves. We see things because we want to educate ourselves. We travel, we call it vacation, but in all actuality, as we get to that place that we want to go, we learn something.
Of course.
Yeah, when we have our antennas open, we will receive all the information that is to be given out there and process it to our betterment in so many ways.
Well, we can do that by going to Yosemite. We also can do that with all truth by lying on our own couch. Because the reality is that God will download into us. And we can learn more and more about the universe and about the secrets of the universe by coming into relationship with God and letting God download into us. So every experience, every human experience, wherever we go, to whomever we speak, whatever we learn, all adds to the storehouse of human knowledge and human spirit.
It's coming back to the concept of you talking about the living of one conscious mind. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it is oneness consciousness. If I am separate from you and you are separate from me, then we can, as you pointed out, be afraid of each other, be angry with each other, fight with each other. If we understand that it's all one universe, we're all the same. You know, it is the old notion of the flap of a butterfly wing. Everything we do affects everything else everywhere. And so we are all interconnected. And instead of turning inward and being protective, we need to turn outward and say, what is mine is mine, what's yours is yours, it's all ours together. And mm-hmm. so it is the oneness of God, the oneness of the universe, the oneness of people, the oneness of our world.
In short, basically, we live in a closed system. You cannot create order without creating disorder somewhere else. And as long as we're aware, we're paying attention to everyone, and everyone's got so much to contribute to our bowl of knowledge, it makes a big difference.
It's a beautiful way to put it. Absolutely. Thank you. Beautiful way to put it.
So, what would you like for your readers to gain from reading The Real Name of God?
Oh, it's up to each person what he or she takes from this. Mm-hmm. If it were a perfect world, then I could say, here's what you should take. You should take, first of all, a knowledge of who God is. So you know God's name, and you know that God is the everything of the everything. You know that God is not that angry, harsh God of the Bible. That's only one aspect. You know that there is the transcendent God and the immanent God, the God within. You know that there is oneness, so it's one God, one world, one people for all of us, because God is the parent of us all and loves us all equally. It is your deep, personal, intimate relationship with God. Virtually every faith community has a communal relationship with God. The collective mm-hmm. has what I call the communal covenant. Everybody is part of that group. It differs, but each one is valid and worthy, and it's just a different bridge from God to God. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, each one of us has this personal covenant with God, this individual relationship with God that can be deep and intimate. And the more we are in touch with God, the more we live God's word and will, the better this world will become. For after all, if I am in constant godness, if you will,
mm-hmm.
then I can't cheat you in business. How can I cheat you in business? I'm in godness.
Mm-hmm.
You're in godness. How could we possibly exploit each other or cheat each other? Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So the more and more we know of God, the more and more we know God, the more and more we're in relationship with God, the better and better this world becomes, the closer and closer we come to oneness consciousness, the closer and closer we come to Eden on Earth once again. And so one of the chants at the end, near the end of the book, goes, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, Eden on Earth. One God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, one God, one world, one people, Eden on Earth.
That's beautiful. And what it talks about basically is being mindful.
Absolutely.
Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
The book is available in most bookstores. If they don't have it, they can order it for you. But you can go to Amazon.com. It's right there. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com. It's right there. Or if you'd like a first edition autographed copy, you can go to the website, www.godisanochi.com. If somebody missed this program, you want to tell him or her about it, you can listen to it again. I know that Johnny has many ways to listen to the program again, but you can also go to that website, godisanochi.com, and see a 7-minute video of me. You can see my lovely face there as well. I explain in about a 7-minute video the basic core ideas of the book. You also can listen to all the chants there or purchase them on a download or a CD. You can also purchase a companion booklet called The Care and Feeding of Your God Self, where we put all the chants, which are scattered throughout the book, we put them in order so that you mm-hmm. can use them as a daily personal spiritual practice, if you wish. And in that Care and Feeding of Your God Self booklet, there are more prayers and more spiritual exercises and more texts that I didn't have room for in this book. So GodIsAnochi.com, or if you like, it's Rabbi Wayne Dossig, R-A-B-B-I, Rabbi Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, Dossig, D-O-S-I-C-K.com. And there are links there to all the other things that we do as well.
Fantastic. By the way, you have an enlightened face. That's what it's all about.
Oh,
when I saw
you.
Your face and I said, gee, I got to have him on my radio show. He's a funny guy, interesting, very engaging. I just can kind of sense that from you.
Oh, how sweet of you. Thanks very much. Well, I have nothing to do with my face, you know. I could say, oh, I became a great scholar because I sat and learned. Or I could say I became a mystic because I came into personal experience with God. My face I have nothing to do with. It's a gift of God.
Let's talk about this. The world is currently, as you know, facing a tremendous challenge when it comes to respecting one's religious beliefs. How can your book help bring a better understanding about God and humanity?
Well, it's the same way that Father O'Leary and I are good friends now.
Mm.
The Catholics and the Jews didn't get along so well for close to 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Now the understanding comes really very simply. We both come from the same place. We're both, all of us, every human being, every orange and elephant, comes from the same place, from God. When our time on this earth is up, we go to the same place. We go back to God. So the question, it's only a question of how we make the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it is simply a matter of having respect and honor for each person's or each faith community's different journey. Some journeys, the path is narrow. Some it's wide. Some you walk with great music and chanting. Some you walk in silence. Some you decorate very brightly and gaily. Some are very sparse and empty. Which one is better? I don't know. Whatever is better for you. Whatever works for you and your faith community and the culture from where you came and the geography from where you came and the social mores from where you came. They're all good and valid and worthy. You know, it's why they make chocolate and vanilla. We all love ice cream. It's just we like different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly the same thing. We're all different flavors of the same entity, and all we need is honor and respect for, you see, because oneness does
mm-hmm.
not mean sameness.
Mm-hmm.
There is great beauty in our differences. Now, I went to Mass often. As a
mm-hmm.
professor at a Catholic university, I often went to Mass. I didn't take communion.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I really, really appreciated the great Gregorian chants and the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I could do without the smoke, actually. It made me sneeze a lot, you know, from the sense or the incense. But
mm-hmm.
other than that, I find it fantastic. And rabbis these days, most rabbis have become more egalitarian. They
yeah.
don't wear vestments that much anymore, just the suits or dresses on the pulpit. And the Catholic vestments are fantastic. We we once had an all-faith service, and
mm-hmm.
we were having a guest bishop or somebody from out of town, and his family is very wealthy, and the Pope's tailor dresses him from Rome. So the Monsignor who is in charge of the service calls me up and he says, Rabbi, so-and-so is coming. He's dressed by Rome. He's going to be in his
mm-hmm.
finest vestments. Go to your rabbinic closet and take out your fanciest and most colorful vestments. We're going to look good, too. Okay, so sometimes, and this is part of the, you know, the differences, sometimes
mm-hmm.
a priest wears a plain black suit and a white collar, and sometimes the priest dresses up in the finest because it's a different mode, a different message at a different time.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Do you worry that people, including powerful religious leaders, will renounce your claims?
Well, I'll tell you, I was giving this talk about this in
mm-hmm.
In some place,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the talk, of course, I asked for questions, and one man stood up and he said, Rabbi, you are a genius, a visionary. What you have found out here what you have discovered here will change the world forever.
Mm-hmm.
I said, thank you very much. You, my father would be very proud, and my mother wouldn't believe it. So then another person, a woman, stood up and said, Rabbi, you are a blasphemer. You're going to hell. So far the reaction has been, let's say, mixed.
Mm-hmm.
But for many, many, many people, it is the aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
All the contradictions, all the paradoxes, all the mysteries that have plagued me all my life, says somebody, are now solved.
Mm-hmm.
It's the aha moment. Actually, the priest says on the back of the book, as a Christian, I now understand the Hebrew scriptures in new ways that bring me further into the presence of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is it?
Right.
One God, three gods, one and three, three and one. I never understood. Now I understand. It's mm-hmm. the same God, three different faces, three
right.
different names, three different approaches. So it is such aha moments for so many people.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Recipe for living is love God, embrace God, love your fellow human beings, embrace your fellow human beings, be sweet and be holy. Tune your awareness to oneness consciousness, for in oneness consciousness you will feel the power and the promise of Eden on earth once again.
And I'm sure you live your life with that recipe.
I try. We're all human beings. We all fail and get up and dust ourselves off and try again. We are all imperfect and try to be better, but that's the human quest.
You're definitely right. Rabbi Dorsek, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Kelly McNellis Senegal. She is the founder of Women for One. It is a movement that promotes authenticity and inspiration for women throughout the world. In just the second year of existence, her organization has reached over 4 million people in 50 countries. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Rabbi Dasik, thank you again and have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you. You too, Johnny.
Bye-bye.